following podcast is part of the Underdog Sports Podcasting Network. For a full list of our shows, as well as breaking sports news and engaging feature stories, visit us at www.theunderdogsports.com.
What's up, everybody? And welcome to the 25th episode of the Schmidt Talking Podcast. I'm Alec Walt alongside Kyle Allen. We're two members of the class of 2017 who are obsessed with Bonnie's basketball. Kyle, welcome to you.
Alec, what's going on, my dude? We're now at the quarter century mark, as you explained to me earlier, number 25. Couldn't be more excited. We are in the midst of a nice Bonnie's offseason right now. Excited to see whether Jalen Adams gets drafted, or if not, what summer league team he'd be playing on. We're just excited to see our guys play again very soon in the upcoming summer league.
Yeah, Kyle, should be exciting. The draft is this Thursday at 7 o'clock. We'll talk a little bit more about the NBA draft later in the show. But, Kyle, I want to start today's show talking about the schedule for next year. We don't have the exact dates, but the Atlantic 10 has announced the pairings for the 2018-2019 regular season. And the Bonnies played Davidson, Duquesne, Fordham, George Mason, and St. Joseph's twice. Kyle, not a bad group for next season.
Yeah, man, when it comes to the top teams, I mean, you got Davidson, VCU, St. Louis, Dayton. They're all going to be fighting for the top spot in the A-10 and the top four seeds, along with us this year. I think we're going to be right there with all those teams. I think when it comes to our ability versus a lot of these teams, they're also very young, and we are going to be, displaying some youth as well, I think, in this upcoming season in a good way, in a positive way, to where we're using it as an advantage. And with Osunia, this freshman class could really, step up and become a difference maker in this season. I think that's going to be the way it falls for us. And when it comes to a team like Davidson that we got highlighted this year on a home-and-home, that's going to be one of the more fun games of the season. We know what Kellen Grady's ability is going to be. We lost Peyton Aldridge, but Kellen Grady showed why he's going to be probably a top half of the first-round pick this upcoming season if all goes well. And as of right now, that's what they're predicting for the 2019 draft. So it's pretty exciting. We're going to have some great home and away games. The home schedule looks awesome as far as just the pairing set up right now.
This is how I look at these five games. Davidson, I think, is going to be the best team in the Atlantic 10 next year. You mentioned Kellen Grady, potential first-round pick. That could be a good game to see where we stand if we were to potentially make it to another tournament. But this is good to have on the schedule because if we can get a win against Davidson late in the season, specifically on the road, that'll only help us and trying to build our resume. Then you got the teams, and you could say the middle class of the Atlantic 10. You got Duquesne, George Mason, St. Joe's. The thing with Duquesne and St. Joe's is they always keep games against us close. Those are three very experienced coaches in the conference. They all know what each other are thinking. And then I think George Mason's one of the most underrated teams going into next season. They have Otis Livingston the second. I think he's going to be a finalist for the A-10 Player of the Year. I think Grady's going to win it. But Otis Livingston's going to be one of the best players in the conference next year. It'll be fun to watch him battle against Courtney Stockard. Fordham, worst team in the conference. You posted something on Twitter about something they were doing at practice. Completely embarrassing. You can find it on our Twitter page at Schmidt_talking. Looking at the home games, Dayton, LaSalle, St. Louis, VCU. Thank God those four games are at home.
I mean, the one team out of those four that you highlighted, St. Louis, man, they are going to be a scary team. I know that they've just had some transfers this upcoming season. They're just going to be built for the long haul of the next few seasons of really, developing and eventually feeding off the senior class. That's going to be very good in a few years. But I think this year they're a sleeper in the Atlantic 10. That's going to be a fun game. Thank God it's at home, like you were saying. ECU, I don't know. They take a step back. Last year was also I think they had made 6 out of 7 NCAA tournaments leading into last year. So, for them, last year was a rarity, so they're going to try to bounce back and be at the top of the conference and try to get an at-large bid like they normally do. Dayton, that's a team who obviously was not a normal Dayton squad. We obviously saw them struggle throughout most of the season. We thought in the beginning that they would potentially get off to a hot start, and then they really struggled for middle end of the non-conference schedule leading into conference play, where it kind of was just mediocre and subpar from there. But I think they also take a step up, and that's going to be a very fun home game as usual. We always go nuts as the Dayton rivalry is always renewed every season, especially now with us having consistent great basketball under Coach Schmidt. It's always fun to have that Dayton rivalry on the schedule, especially at home.
Yeah, the way I look at these four home games is LaSalle and VCU are just tough places to play. I don't know why, but we really struggling play at LaSalle. The year we got snubbed when Marcus Posley was a senior back in 2016, what killed us on our resume was the fact that we lost to LaSalle. People have many reasons to why we didn't get in. I 100% believe that is the reason why the NCAA snubbed us that year. VCU, you and I went to the game this year. That place is loud. It's one of the loudest arenas in the conference. I think the only one that's louder is the Riley Center. Without having Jay and Matt, I don't know how our young guards would do playing in that kind of environment. So I think having a year to play VCU in the Riley Center and then playing VCU next year in Richmond will bode well for this team. And then you look at Dayton. It's another really tough place to play. That was really a place where Jalen Adams thrived, and Jalen Adams not on the team this year. I expect Dayton to take a massive jump going into next season. They're not going to be that middle-of-the-pack team that is kind of figuring out its own way. They're over Archie Miller leaving. He left last year. It really wasn't a surprise that he left, but they had to go through that year of transition. Now that that year is over, I think they're going to start taking steps forward. So, again, these are really four key home games, and I think it's huge for this team that they can play Dayton, LaSalle, St. Louis, and VCU at home. Now, looking at the away-only schedule, George Washington, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, and Richmond. If you ask me, Richmond's the only game I'm concerned about on the road.
I think Rhode Island also is still going to be a very tough game. You know, those four, I think Rhode Island's up there for a reason, because I don't know how much of a step back they're going to take. I mean, yeah, they lost a lot of guys, but you know, those are always right there. I can see them being more of like what Dayton was, I guess, last year, but I think they're still going to be a pretty solid team. I think last year we did not fare well against them on the road. We really were virtually down the whole game, and then towards the end just lost it. We'd never really had any momentum to gain the lead. I just think that's going to be another tester for us, but we've had success there in the past as well. It's not like we haven't won there. I'm just saying that I think that that's a game we could overlook that could be, you know, a sleeper where we just got to make sure we show up. And I wanted to also point out a guy that I think is going to be a big contributor for the Rams is Thatch Russell. He stepped up as a freshman last year. I think this year as a sophomore, he's going to really come into his own. I think he's going to get a lot of playing time and, you know, make a name for himself this year in the A-10.
I agree that Rhode Island's not going to take a massive step back, but I do not think they're anywhere close to the Rhode Island they were before. They lost Terrell. They lost Matthews. They lost Dan Hurley. This is not the same Rhode Island team. This is where, like, Miller leaving Dayton last year, they're going to have a tough year of transition, and I think that's exactly what's going to happen this year, so, especially with the fact that their two senior guards are not there. Who's going to show up late in games? And they may have that answered by the time they play St. Bonaventure, but it's still not clear who that guy yet is going to be. UMass, I think, is going to be the biggest jumper in the conference. Last year, they were one of the worst teams in the league. I think it's safe to say that they're going to be in the upper part of that conference. But the thing with UMass is Luane Pipkins is returning, and he led the conference in scoring last season. You look at George Washington, they're losing Utah Watanabe. He led the team in points and rebounds. Their top three scorers last year were seniors. All three of them obviously are gone. I don't think George Washington's going to be anything special next year. Richmond, as I mentioned, is the one team I'm seriously concerned about. You look at the players returning next year for Richmond. They got Jacob Gilliard. He's going to be a sophomore. Nick Sherrod is going to be a junior. Deontay Buckingham is going to be a junior. And arguably the best player and the biggest mismatch on the team is Grant Golden. He's going to be a sophomore. So this team's bringing a ton back. They got a lot of experience last year with being in the Atlantic 10 tournament. And I do think they're going to have a much tougher non-conference schedule. I mean, they're my early top four. We're going to have future podcasts talking about where we think each team's going to rank going into next season. But Richmond's a scary team next year in the conference. And for a team that's young like St. Bonaventure, you don't know how they're going to respond in that environment. All right, Kyle, for the final segment of our show, we're going to talk about Jalen Adams and the NBA draft. For those of you who did not know, the NBA draft is this Thursday, and joining us on the phone is Basketball Society college basketball insider Aram Canusio. Aram, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, guys.
First question is, do you think Jalen Adams can make it as an NBA basketball player?
Yeah, I mean, obviously everyone listening right now has seen plenty of Bonnie's basketball this year, and I'd be lying to you if I said Jalen Adams wasn't going to have a hard time making it in the NBA. It's not easy for guards, especially out of smaller conferences like that, Atlantic 10, to make it into, you know, the league. But someone like Jalen Adams, what he showed this year, there's no doubt in my mind that there is a way that he can carve out so that he can make it into the NBA. You know, 44% three-point shooting. In a league that we have today where three-point shooting is just so vital, that is just stands out for everyone. Now, obviously, there was a huge concern where during the tournament play versus UCLA and Florida, he shot a combined 4-for-22 from the field and, you know, didn't make one three-point shot. And that's very concerning. But you know what? For me, from watching Jalen Adams a good amount these last couple years, what I always see from him is that once he realizes, you know what, he's not hot, this isn't his game, he's intelligent enough to know, you know what, I got to step back and start to be a better playmaker for my teammates like Mobley and just try to, you know, do whatever he can to win the game, which is like what he did against UCLA. You know, Aaron Holiday, I think in that game, went for 20 points, but the key point there, he had 10 turnovers compared to Jalen Adams' year. You know, that's something that should be standing out. And someone like Aaron Holiday is going to be a first-round pick with ease this year, but then Jalen Adams is just falling maybe even into the second round if he's going to be drafted this year. But from what I've seen, you know, like I mentioned before, great three-point shooter, that's first and foremost, and step shot that intrigues me so much. You know, there's no question in my mind he has NBA three-point range. We saw him pull up from the logo countless times. But the one concern for me is that, you know, he has good enough handles to create space. But against NBA length and NBA talented defensive guard, is he creating enough space where his shot, because he has such a low step shot, is that good enough for him to not get blocked and not be heavily contested? I think so. I think he's going to put in the work, and I truly believe that shot is good enough to just alone get him somewhere into the league. If he's going to be a second-round pick, which if he gets drafted, that's where he's going to go. He's going to have to work his way up. He'll go into the G League and slowly have to prove himself. But there isn't a question in my mind, like I mentioned before, that he has the skills, he has the intelligence to make him in the league, one way or the other. And, you know, one big point I like to make is that, you know what, yeah, he didn't do well whatsoever NCAA tournament in those two games that Bonnie's had. But the one thing I found out is that, you know what, it's not that he's not clutch. You know, he took about 25 three-point shots in late offense this week when it's 25 seconds or later on the shot. From there, in those situations, shot 44%, pretty much exactly what he shot during the season. So it's not like that he doesn't have that clutch gene or struggles under pressure. It's just that, you know what, yeah, because of those two games in the NCAA tournament, it hurt his stock a little bit, but it shouldn't be enough to completely have these teams late in the second round, you know, avoid looking at him.
Aaron, I loved your comparison there, you know, just explaining as to why, you know, when he's off on his offensive game, how he's still, you know, a big contributor to the offense as a whole. I think in that game, his assist to turnover ratio was, like you said, zero turnovers, but I think he also had upwards of like 12 to 14 assists, something insane like that. And, you know, that's obviously going to be one of the biggest factors to help people out of win in an offensive struggling game. When it comes to his NBA comparison, you know, over your years at analyzing the NBA as well as the college game, when it comes to Jalen Adams, who do you see he best compares to in the NBA right now?
I've never been a person to say, you know what, NBA comparisons, you know, are so great. You know, this is what he's going to end up being. But it's always a good thing to look at just to say, you know what, he's going to make a way. This is kind of the player he can be. And I don't know if you guys will really like this comparison, but I was sifting through players. I was thinking about someone like Dennis Schroeder, but Dennis Schroeder's a lot quicker than someone like Jalen Adams. And I stumbled upon Kyle Lowry. It's actually playoff Kyle Lowry. That is my comparison right now. And sure, yeah, that might not sound too great because, as we know, Kyle Lowry doesn't really perform during the playoffs. But if you saw him this year, he was actually the perfect comparison of what I want Jalen Adams to be in the NBA. So Jalen Adams, you know, if he's going to make it in the NBA, like I said, he has to be an intelligent point guard, be a good floor general, and just make shots when he's asked for it. Kyle Lowry this season, playoff Kyle Lowry, he shot above 50% from the field and around 45% from deep, something like that. So it should tell you, you know what, Jalen Adams, it has to take time. It's going to take time to develop his game, learn from whatever organization that takes a flyer on him. But in due time, he can turn into a stud. And that's what playoff Kyle Lowry had to do. Jalen Adams won't be able to make that immediate type of impact. But, like I said, you compare him to playoff Kyle Lowry, who struggled mightily the first couple years in the playoffs and, you know, was a shell of himself. This year, finally, Kyle Lowry showed out, and I think that's something that Jalen Adams can do over time. Give him a couple years to develop and be someone who can truly help a team, especially with that three-point shot. In the NBA, he's going to be someone where you're going to be in the corner. You can be our floor general, but you just got to work your butt off on defense and hit the open three-point shot.
All right, Aram, you were the main contributor to a Basketball Society mock draft. For those of you who have not read it, you can find it on our website, basketballsocietyonline.com, on our Twitter page, at @Schmidt_talking, and the Basketball Society Twitter page, at @BballSociety_. In that mock draft, you have the Charlotte Hornets selecting Adams at 55. Why do you think the Hornets will consider taking him towards the end of the draft?
Yeah, you know, I know, Alec, you and I had this discussion before, and trying to figure out, you know what, we know Jalen Adams, if he's going to get drafted, he's going to go late in the second round. And now for a team like the Hornets, it just makes sense. You have a guard like Kemba Walker. Kemba has said himself he wants to be in Charlotte, but realistically, how long is that organization going to be able to hold on to him? And even if they're able to hold on to him long-term, they have no one to back up right now. Like Carter Williams, his contract is done. Even if he was on that team, he's not really the point guard of the future for Charlotte. They don't really want that. And for someone like Charlotte this year, in the first round, they're going to have to go for someone like Miles Bridges, who's going to be available. Kevin Knox will be available. Those type of guys, those wing forwards that could really help out Kemba. And then in the second round, you need to supply some help on defense. They got Malik Monk last year, so they do have more wing help. Dwight Howard proved that he was actually very good for the Hornets this past season, and it just comes down to Kemba needs a backup point guard. And Jalen Adams is a great fit. Like I said before, he's going to have to work his butt off on defense, and someone who's going to really help with just getting his mind right and getting everything set and helping him produce in the NBA and work his way into becoming a legitimate threat off the bench is Kemba Walker. It would be the perfect fit for Charlotte, a team that in the second round, they're going to have to look for that type of need because they still have a good amount of players on contract, and you're literally left with Kemba Walker, Jeremy Lamb, and Malik Monk as your guard. Maybe they'll try to turn Monk into a point guard, but I don't see that. I don't see that as a feature. He's a slasher, and he's a two guard. Jalen Adams would actually work really well with Monk off the bench, or Lamb actually off the bench more likely, because they'll probably move Monk to the starting lineup. And that would actually finally be a formidable bench that Charlotte has lacked for years and years. And one thing with Jalen Adams, you know, I didn't mention before, the one big concern for me is his ability to finish at the rim. You know, I was watching tape of Adams the other day, and I was watching him finish at the rim. I was like, you know what? He does a great job getting the ball high off the glass. In the NBA, you have to do that because you're going to go against 7-foot shot blockers instead of 6'9", 6'8" ones in college. So I kept watching that. I was like, you know what? This is great. He's getting high off the glass. He has a nice touch. That's really going to translate well. And then I went into his stats and saw, wow, Jalen Adams actually only shoots 48.1% at the rim, which is very poor. I think Lonzo Ball was even a little higher than that last year, and that shocked me to my core because that really unimpressed me because I flat out said, you know what, Lonzo has to have a better field goal percentage than this. And we saw in his rookie season, Lonzo had a really tough time at the rim. This is a little different for Adams. I think, you know what, he has the skills, and he has a nice touch to finish well at the rim. But someone like Kemba, guys like Monk, and all these veterans on Charlotte are going to be so good for him and working his butt off to get to that stage where he can be an efficient scorer at the rim. And in practice, working against someone like Dwight Howard will help that even more, trying to finish over him. And if you can do that, he's going to be a good guard off the bench to back up Kemba.
And Aram, for our final question of the night, in our mock draft that you can find at BasketballSocietyOnline.com. With the final pick, you had the Philadelphia 76ers drafting Kostas Kontentakumpo. why do you think Philadelphia would consider drafting the Dayton Flyer?
Yeah, so obviously this is one of those picks that's really going to surprise people. Recently we've heard that Costas decided not to go to any more of his workouts after the one with Charlotte, I think he had. And there were some rumors that, you know what, maybe it was some injury, as well as other people saying, you know what, maybe a team promised him that they'll draft him, and that's why he's cutting off the rest of his workout. For Antetokounmpo, he's a sequel to a movie. That's what he is, exactly. No, it's not going to be as good as the original. You're not really going to get anything. You might not get anything really close to the original, but you have that slight hope that it's going to be somewhat as good as it. He only started all of 6 games. But in the 2 games that he played over 25 minutes, he went for 10-10 and filled up the smash sheet. There was nothing, really, he did at Dayton that suggests that Antetokounmpo is going to be a good player in the league or even deserves a draft pick. But his length, his potential is just so great that it's hard for a team to pass on him. You have to see that sequel. You have to try to, you know, take a flyer on him, literally take a flyer on him, because you don't want to be the team that passes on him. Now, there are still teams that we saw of how we had the draft going out. It made more sense for teams like Oklahoma City to go for other needs. But he's just one of those guys where you can't pass on him just for that simple fact. As Dayton fans know, he averaged, what, 5 points per game? Per 40 minutes, he averaged about 13. No, he only averaged 15 minutes per game, but still, outside of him finishing at the rim, his jump shot was nothing special and needs a lot of work. And he's going to be a guy that you're going to stash in your organization. You're going to throw him in the G League. You're going to give him 2-3 years to try to develop. But it's like any other international product you're going to draft there. And why not go for someone who has the genes of someone like Giannis, who's quickly become a top 3 player in this league within 3-4 years? So Philly might not even have that pick because they have so many first and second round picks this year that, like every other year, that they're going to have to trade a couple. And whoever has pick 60, if Kostas Antetokounmpo is still on the board, he should be taken. You don't want to be the team to pass on this guy and have someone else pick him up during summer league. He's going to be training with his brother every single summer. And if he has that ability to do that, who knows the kind of player he's going to turn into.
All right, that was Basketball Society College Basketball Insider Aram Canusio. Aram, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Aram. Thank you.
Yep, thanks.
All right, that's going to be it for this episode of the Schmidt Talking Podcast. I'm Alec Walt alongside Kyle Allen. Tune in 2 weeks from today as we keep you up to date with all things St. Bonaventure basketball. Thank you for listening, and have a good night.